This is the Hoffcast. Welcome back. This is episode 5 and jalapenos. This will be known as the jalapenos episode. I was cooking this week. My wife said, my wife had Bible study the other night, and so I made dinner at like a frozen pizza, and me and the boys are eating, and all of a sudden we're finishing, and I was like, hey, you guys play, I'm gonna do the dishes. And my oldest kid, Indiana, goes, Dad, why don't you just have Mom do the dishes, and that way you can play with us. And I was like, oh, well, sometimes Daddy's got to do the dishes. And he that didn't compute to him, even though once in a while I do those dishes. But I told Sarah that story, and she goes, yeah, you need to start doing a little more of the domestic chores around the house so that the boys don't become chauvinists. So then the very next night I was like, fine, cooking dinner. All right, my boys aren't going to grow up like that. So my wife still picked the recipe. She told me what to do. And I made Jamaican jerk chicken with a jalapeno mango like sauce to go over the top. And she told me, she said, hey, wear gloves when you're cutting the jalapeno so you don't get those oils on your fingers. And I didn't. And then later that night, even though I had washed my hands multiple times, I rubbed my right eye, and it burned like a son of a bitch. And I was tearing up. I was like, oh, even though I had washed my hands probably 2 or 3 times since then, those oils did. And I told her, I was like, hey, yeah, good call on the gloves because I forgot to. And I just rubbed my eye, and now it's killing me. And she goes, well, don't touch your penis. And immediately I was like, you mean jalapenos? Yes, make sure I don't get a burning sensation on my pecker. So this is the jalapenos episode, and I risked it later. I risked it. I had to pee later, and I touched it, but it didn't burn. It didn't burn. But I was kind of welcoming it. I was like, you know what? Maybe it'll be something new. Wife's 8 months pregnant, you know? I'm looking for a new adventure. We'll see what happens. But luckily, the dick skin is not affected by the jalapeno oils. Therefore, jalapenos not coming at Big Hoff. I enjoyed cooking. I enjoyed it. It was... there's something therapeutic about cutting something up. Now, granted, if I had to do it every single day, I might go insane. And, I mean, I make myself breakfast. I usually make myself lunch. But dinner's a whole other ballgame. You got to step it up. Or as Gordon Ramsay would say, you got to elevate the dish. And my wife's great at that. I am not good at that. But it was kind of nice. And plus, everything I decide to eat, anytime I decide to cook something, Sarah's like, you know how bad that is for you? Do you know how bad that is? What you're about to put in your body? Do you know how bad that is? And things that I always thought were good, like, I mean, when we first got married, I bought a watermelon. Just for the two of us, I bought like this whole giant watermelon. And I loved watermelon growing up. And I just was cutting, I was mowing it down. I must have eaten 4 or 5 giant slices. She goes, you know how much sugar is in that? I was like, what? I can't eat fruit now? Is this true? Like, what? We can't have fruit because there's sugar in fruit? She's like, you know how... You have any idea how bad that is for you? So I can't... you know what? You can't eat anything. You can't eat anything. You watch all these documentaries, Food Incorporated, whatever. I don't watch those because I want ignorance. Ignorance is bliss. If I know what's happening to the food, it's a nightmare. That's why that's why we lie to ourselves. That's why we, you know, kid ourselves about what we're eating. We don't call it a cow sandwich. It's a hamburger, okay? We got to get further removed. That's why we don't go straight to a butcher where they're just chopping the giant hunks of meat in front of you. No, we buy it pre-packaged. You have no identity with the cow or the chicken or whatever the hell it is. You know, the one time on Thanksgiving where you got to scrape the innards out, like that, and everybody goes, ugh. Like, that's... Nobody wants to do that. We got to divide it. Like, I'm a hunter, but like I clean what I kill, but I don't eat it that day. I don't do that. I've done that with fish where like you catch them and then you have a shore lunch or something like that. And there's something rustic, but it's also like, man, that you were alive an hour ago. I kind of feel bad about that, but you can't watch those documentaries because you'll never eat anything. You can't, if you talk to any health nut, any vegan, you're going to feel bad about yourself. You can't eat anything. You try, like, okay, I can't have fruit, right? You tell me fruit has too much sugar. Okay, what about a tomato? Tomato is a fruit, right? How's that? Can I have a tomato? There's not a lot of sugar in a tomato. It's got good fiber. It's good for your prostate. And they say, I don't know. That depends, man. Depends. Is it organic? And then you got to face that uphill battle. And you're like, okay. Well, just give me my morning coffee. That'll be fine. I'll have some coffee. And they're like, ooh, you got to be careful with coffee. You got to be careful. I mean, is it fair trade coffee? Is that because you got to fair trade? Get the hell out. That just means I paid too much. Okay? Just because we've made a good trade deal with certain places and we get our coffee for a fraction of the cost doesn't mean, oh, gotta have fair trade, man. Everything's bad for you. I just read something that Starbucks is getting sued because the process of roasting coffee beans, there's like trace amounts of a cancer-causing agent. You're like, of course there's something bad in this stimulant that we've been told is actually good for you, healthy to a certain degree. Everything's killing us, but you know, to what amount is it killing us? That's all I really want to know. Like everything's bad. There's nothing that really reverses the aging process. They say pomegranate is supposed to be good because it has antioxidants, but it's not really reversing, because then that's all anybody would eat and we'd live forever. But that's not happening, okay? It's, the whole thing is stupid. I just would rather have ignorance. That's what I'm going with. That's what, because I used to make fun of like vegetarians, and vegans wasn't even a thing that I was aware of growing up. But vegetarians, I was always like, what the hell? Why would you not eat meat? And now, you know what? I get it. Like, I'm not giving up meat because it's delicious, but I understand it. Like, I don't want things to die just so that I can live. I mean, if push comes to shove, they better die. But, you know, I feel bad about it. That's why I choose not to think of it. Just ignorance is bliss, okay? Somebody once said, you know, that's what they get for being stupid enough to be born a cow. And just for saying that, some of you out there are like, you know what? You might come back as a cow, man. Got to be careful. Well, then I'll deserve it. And it's probably for talking all this trash that I'm talking right now. I'm going to cook like once a week, I think. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to try to do more than just the oven-baked pizza or something. I'm actually going to try and get better at it, because there's something nice about going and doing that. The only thing I don't like is when you screw it up. Like, I've screwed up on the grill. For whatever reason, that's the man's job. And I enjoy it out there, but there's not one time that I don't go out to that grill with either a whiskey or a beer in my hand. Because that's, I think I've talked about it on this podcast before, that's the ritual of it. It's what you got to do. So I'm out there, you know, sometimes I'm half in the tank. Of course I'm going to burn the chicken wings. but jalapenos. Jalapenos. Love it, man. Love it. I'm so glad my dick didn't burn. I can't imagine that happening anyway. But my eyeball did. Eyeball sensitive. Let's see. What else has happened? Oh, this week. I've got some shows this weekend up in Canada. If you guys are up there, I hope you're coming out to see a show. I'm in Friday, Saturday. I'm up in Alberta. So if you're in the area, come on by. I'm up there with Cable Guy. I'm going to be on the 13th, which is Friday, I'm going to be at the Revolution Place in Grand Prairie, Alberta. And then on Saturday, we'll both be there at the River Cree Resort, Enoch, Alberta. I think that's how it's pronounced. I don't think I've been there before. So if you guys are in the area, come on by. And then I'm off for a month, you guys. I'm off touring. I'm waiting for my baby girl to be born, so I am off after next week. As long as she can hold it in for 5 more days, I will see the birth of my child, which will be 3 for 3. Not everybody's that lucky, unless she somehow holds it in till the end of May, in which case I'll be in Wichita, Kansas. But at that point, the baby's overbaked. I mean, at that point, what are we doing here? We're just raising a toddler in her belly at that moment. So I'll be doing a lot more shows in Los Angeles. So if you're in the LA area, come out, check out a show. I sometimes post those on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or something like that. But if you don't see where I am, I'm up several times a week. So just hit me up. I'll let you know. Working on a bunch of new stuff, and it's going well. So come out and see this before it completely takes shape for my summer tour. So come on out and say hi, and maybe I'll be with child at that point, and I'll be tired, and I'll need you to buy me a fair trade coffee out at your nearest comedy establishment. I want to talk about I've been reading the kids Calvin and Hobbes. I've been trying to read the older one, Calvin and Hobbes. I loved that comic strip growing up. And, you know, the book has always been sitting there, and he's asked me about it several times. We've tried in the past, but he's not really into it. But lately, he's been a little more like, hey, let's read this. He really likes the dinosaur strips, things like that. And so I've been trying to read it, and I just found myself, a couple of years ago, I almost went to try and seek out Bill Watterson. He's the author of Calvin and Hobbes. He did it like in his late 20s, early 30s, and then retired like at 38 or something like that, in just small town in Ohio. Or maybe it's like, it may not have been small town Ohio, but it's in Ohio. And he just kind of chose a life by himself. And he was already a strange cat, because he wouldn't ever let anybody print t-shirts or lunchboxes or anything. You know, he didn't want to over-commercialize his product. And I get it, kind of. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if I get it. Because, like, I understand you've got your artistic integrity, but at the same time, you're pumping it out there. Don't you want your product in as many eyes? Like, it might... Kids today, I don't know if they are reading Calvin and Hobbes unless a parent like me is pushing it on them. But if it were out there on lunchboxes and TV screens and making, you know, Netflix would probably have a Calvin and Hobbes series by now. They'd be on the third season. I just don't know that I understand why you'd want to limit your range. I mean, I'm sure he has maybe he's a serial killer. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe he's like, you know what? This internet's really taking hold. I need to get in my bunker and not show my face. maybe that's what's happening. People have tried to get interviews with him before, and he just doesn't meet. He doesn't meet. I think he did one, like, college graduation speech, which instantly became a viral sensation. If you guys haven't read it, somebody... He didn't do the comic strip for it, but somebody put together a comic strip of his, like, a portion of his speech, and it was great. And it was done kind of in the Calvin and Hobbes vein. Let's see if I can find out what the name of it was. So it was, he did it at Kenyon College? Is that what he did? Yeah, here it is. What's this called? Bill Watterson's Advice on Life speech. If you just Google search that, you'll find it. You know, take you 1 minute to read this. And I think it's got some good points. It talks about, you know what, maybe I'm answering my own question. It talks about not selling out and kind of finding your own happiness in life. But I don't know that this would have conflicted, like making Calvin and Hobbes a bigger thing than it already was. I don't know that that would conflict with his ideology. But it's a really good strip. This one I'm looking at right now, maybe that's not the right thing to Google search, because the one I'm looking at now is kind of an abbreviated version. Let's see, Bill Watterson, should be using web crawler, you guys know that. Advice speech. Let's see if I can find the full one here. Zen Pencils, is that it? A Cartoonist's Advice, is this the whole thing? Yeah, the website's called zenpencils.com. It's got the whole thing on there. It's great. Worth 2 minutes. I think it'll inspire you guys. It's kind of like finding your own happiness. You know, you don't need to do what the public eye demands of you, what your Facebook friends will judge you for. Like, you know, kind of make your own happiness, make your own life. And I think those are sage words, although I still disagree. I think I would be pumped if Netflix was on season 3 of Calvin Hobbes, as long as it was good. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe he was like, I don't want somebody else to take this. Like, I don't want to work on it anymore. Maybe he was tired. He's like, I don't want to work on it, and I don't want somebody else dicking it up. So I get it. Okay. I've talked. I started out hard against. I started out as a firm no, Bill. You should have done this. And now I'm like, I get it. Never mind. All right. All right, well, if nothing else, I've learned something. and if nothing else, you guys should check out that comic strip. I had a buddy of mine, Jason, who had it printed out. It was like a big old, like, framed piece of art on his wall. And it's awesome. So check that out. I think it's definitely worth seeing. But I still would like to meet Bill. If anybody's got the inside track on that, I'd love to talk to him. You know, he had a big impact on my life. I used to sit there and just laugh to myself out loud. And he was he's talking to kids through these strips, but he's using giant words. And I mean, so many times I had to look up a word. What does this mean? And you know, he didn't play down to us, which was awesome. He didn't make me feel like an idiot that he was playing to the lowest common denominator. He was playing to the highest IQ in the room, and even higher than what he was going for. Or maybe it was meant for adults the whole time, and he's pissed that I was drooling all over it. there was the reason I got so into Calvin and Hobbes was, oh God. Okay, so this must have been fifth grade, maybe even sixth grade, and we were supposed to go on a field trip, and a kid, Dave Ellerby's mom, got into a car accident with our teacher on the way to school. I think, in fact, they were coming to pick me up to go to school. I don't know why I was getting a ride. Maybe the weather was crappy or something, because normally I just walked to school or rode my bike or something. But his mom was coming to pick me up, crashed into our teacher on the way to school, so they had a whole thing they had to do. I got a ride from someone else, or maybe I hoofed it, and, you know, it took me like 7 minutes to get there. And so our field trip's delayed by a couple hours, and this kid, Ben Cunningham, had this giant stack of Calvin and Hobbes books, and we had been gambling all week, and so that just became a bargaining chip, and we were gambling. I don't even know what game. Maybe we were playing Pogs. Maybe that's what we were gambling. And instead of like trading the little Pog pieces, we're like, I will take something from you. You take something from me. And I think I won 3 of the collections of the Calvin and Hobbes. And I had never had one of the books before. I had read them, you know, every day in the newspaper. But that was my first time getting a collection. I just sit there and flip through them and laugh my ass off. And Ben Cunningham, if you're listening, thank you so much. I'm glad you're bad at Pogs, and I was able to take those books from you. And thank you to Dave Ellerby's mom for crashing into Mrs. Barnison. So that was really what completely dumped me into the Calvin Hobbes world. So if anybody knows Bill Watterson, I'd love to talk to him, because it was a formidable part of my childhood. And someday, if that guy doesn't like croak early, somebody's gonna get a hold of him and really pick his brain. I think he's got something interesting. Either that or he's a murderer. It's one of the two things. He's either very interesting or he's killed 3 people and he is laying low. I would still like to meet him, even if he's killed people. I think that'd be cool. I was at lunch today, and my wife and I were talking, and I did one of those clickbaits on online, like, you know, like people are like, the top 10 things you didn't know about Jurassic Park, and I was clicking on them, And I hate those. Anytime you have to click every time to get to the next thing, I hate that because it's loading 17 more commercials and just piling on you. And you're like, son of a bitch, just tell me give it to me all on one page. I understand you're trying to sell ad space, but screw you. Like, now I'm done clicking lists. But here, I actually thought it'd be interesting to make kind of a top list of, at first I was going to do movies. I was like, you know, going to see what you guys like in your top 10, top 5 movies of all time. But then I realized it was too broad. I was going through, I had a list of like 36 movies. And I was like, you know what, that's way too many. We got to do subcategories. Because I can't throw a comedy, like an all-time great comedy like Dumb and Dumber, right up there against Shawshank Redemption. I can't do it. Like, it just doesn't, I was making the top 10 list, and I was like, some of these don't really make sense together, and I can't legitimately, you know, pick one over the other when they're so different. But here's what I will say. In any top 10 list, like, you look at the AFI top 100 list, and it's just art house film, just shitbird after shitbird of movie that you're like, yeah, I get it. It's a good movie, but I would like Schindler's List, I think, is number 7 all time. And you're like, yeah, great movie. And I've only ever seen it once. I knew a guy, my buddy Josh Garfinkel, owned the movie. And I think he never watched, like, I think it was still in the cellophane. And he's like, no, it was a great movie. I had to buy it. But he never will watch it. The only person that ever watches is my mom. She'll watch it once a year because she likes being sad. She'll just sit up in their living room crying. I remember coming up in high school, like, what do you, is this? And she's just, Nicholas, look at what's happening right now. How can anybody do that? And you're like, Mom, you've seen this. You rent it from the library once a year. Why are you doing this to yourself? She likes being sad. She likes it. One time on the way to, like, I was going to visit a college, and she woke me up. I was riding shotgun. I was asleep, and she woke me up to show me a dead dog on the side of the road. She's like, Nick, look. And I'm like, why? I was peaceful. I was sleeping. This is another thing. Ignorance is bliss. Let me sleep. Don't wake me up to show me a dead collie on the side of the road. Are you insane? She just likes being sad. But Schindler's List, number 7 all time. And I'm like, come on. Like, great movie, but you can't put it up there because you can't watch it again. And that's a big thing, that movies, if nothing else, they're just entertainment value. So watchability is a big thing when I'm ranking movies, okay? If I can watch it over and over again, you're going to get more points from me rather than a great movie that just you never want to see it again, okay? Like March of the Penguins. Okay, saw it. Good. Fine. Don't care to see it again. But, you know, other movies like Saving Silverman, let me watch that over and over again. Is it as good of a movie as March of the Penguins? Yes. Yes, it is. It's better because I can watch it over and over again. So I give big points to watchability. So here's what I'm going to do. And I want you guys to give me your list as well. Send them in. Let me know if you disagree with me. But, of course, I'm right. or maybe you make some good points and I revise my list next week. So I'm going to do my top 10 Steven Spielberg movies of all time. Okay, dude's done tons of great movies, and I was making the list for myself, and I just was like, you know what, I got to just narrow this down to 10. So here we go. Here's what I've got. And you know what, I've got, what did I did put Schindler's List at 10, okay? So that's his highest rated film, I think. But come on, I just explained why it's that low, okay? But it is great, and he's directed, like, I don't know, something like 30 or 40 movies. So it's still an impressive feat. I'll put it up there at 10. But okay, so, I don't know, some of you guys are going to get mad at this list, I don't know. Okay, so number 10, we've got Schindler's List, good movie, we'll never watch it again, fine, we get it, Steven, you did it, great job. You took sensitive material and you did it justice, as far as I know, and as far as anybody has said. So we'll count it. Okay, now this one's going to piss some people off. Number 9, the year I was born, E.T., extraterrestrial. A lot of people probably going to have that higher up. But you know what? I feel like it gives me this weird feeling inside. I get it, and I like the 80s, and I like some of the things that are going on. By the way, rated PG, I think the kid in minute 3 calls his brother penis breath, which is, I mean, PG on penis breath. I was showing my kid that, or my mother-in-law wanted to show him E.T., and like right off the bat, boom, shut up, penis breath. And you're like, okay, pump the brakes there, big dog. We don't need that. I don't need my 4-year-old running around yelling penis breath. But I did like the movie. I don't watch it all that often. I hadn't seen it since probably the early 90s when we would watch it on a snow day or something. So E.T.'s coming in at number 9. Number 8, this one, you know, a lot of people have higher, but Saving Private Ryan, it kind of falls in along the same line as Schindler's List. Liked it, but I can't watch it again. Like, I see it on TV and I just have to turn that part in the movie where the one guy is hiding on the stairs like he's petrified from war, and his buddy's kind of wrestling with the other soldier, and the dude gets a knife on top of his chest and it just like pushes slowly into his heart. That disturbed the dog crap out of me. And I don't like sharp objects being pushed in any way. Like, shoot anybody all day long. I don't care about that. But, that's why Scream bothered me so much. It's knives going in. Oh, what a horrible way to die. I didn't like that. I didn't like that part, but it felt gritty like war. Good job putting it together. That D-Day beach scene was incredible, but not watching it again. So, it's 8. Number 7. This one has snuck up the last couple of years, and it's not that old. Minority Report. What is it, like 2001? Something like that? I've got it right. 2002. Minority Report. I think a lot of you guys missed that one. If you missed it, go back and check it out. It's kind of like it's a futuristic look that I feel like is probably fairly close to what's going to happen with all the driverless cars. Are we going to be on tracks, things like that? And just as technology grows, what we're going to be doing with it and the responsibility of that. I really like it. Highly underrated Steven Spielberg, Tom Cruise movie. If you guys haven't seen that one, check it out. Comes in at number 7. Number 6 for me, Hook. Boom. Love that movie. It almost went higher. It almost went higher. It gets no love on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's fantastic, okay? Robin Williams plays the part of Peter Pan really well, and Dustin Hoffman, I mean, get the hell out of here. He steals the show as Hook. If you go and you listen to his dialogue, it's hysterical. The things he's calling his crew and the things he says under his breath that you might have missed when you were 14 watching that movie, go back and watch that again and listen to Dustin Hoffman's lines. It's amazing. And I think you guys will appreciate it like I did. So that rounds out the bottom 5 of my top 10. Now, here we go. This is the real deal. This is the guts of Steven Spielberg right here. And this is has become a Christmas classic. And I think it hasn't gotten its just due, but over time, I think it ages well. Catch Me If You Can. Catch Me If You Can is an amazing movie. Christopher Walken's amazing in it. DiCaprio's great. It's got a young Amy Adams. Maybe her first role. She's the young little brace face girl that marries DiCaprio when he's pretending to be a doctor. Dude, it's a father-son story at its core, and that gets to me. And that's going to come in later on this list. Catch Me If You Can, Tom Hanks. It's really great. Number 4, this one's going to piss you guys off. Raiders of the Lost Ark comes in at number 4. I'm guessing the majority of you will have that somewhere higher on your list, but to me, it's a great movie. I mean, I love Steven Spielberg's movies, so number four is a huge compliment, but that's where that comes in. Number three, Jurassic Park. It hit me right at the exact right time, okay? I think it was PG-13. I think I was 13 when it came out. Maybe I was even 12. And I remember we had to run after my little sister who ran out during that kitchen scene when the raptors are after the kids. My little sister couldn't handle it. She had to go out into the lobby, and we had to go out there with her. Dude, it hit me at the exact right time. What a great movie. I still watch it once a year, and I've been having a blast showing my kids, because they're obsessed with dinosaurs too. I've been having a blast showing them Jurassic Park, and it really holds up. It really does, you guys. The dinosaurs look fantastic in that. So that's number three. Number two, we've got Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. See? Yeah, I've got that one higher, which is not a popular opinion to have that higher than Raiders. But in my idea, it's got that watchability factor, okay? Him, Harrison Ford, and Sean Connery together, that's that, once again, father-son story that I'm a sucker for, and they have great chemistry together. They, going back and forth, is amazing. James Bond and Indiana Jones in the same movie, get the hell out of here. What a great movie. Love that one. That's number two. And number one, of course, Bring It. I remember seeing it for the first time when I was 6 years old. Talked my grandma Hoff into renting it for me. I had nightmares. I don't go in the ocean ever since I saw this movie. Jaws comes in at number one. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Okay, the fact that they don't show you the shark until maybe 40 minutes into the movie just builds that suspense, and it is probably adversely, or I would argue positively, saving a lot of lives, people not going in the ocean. You know, you don't hear that much about sharks eating people, but had this movie never come out, more people would be in the ocean. As a result, more people getting eaten, okay? I think the reason we're not getting eaten is there's a shortage of humans in there, much more fish, easier to go after. Thank you, Steven, for saving our lives. Jaws comes in at number one. So I ask you, do you disagree? Do you disagree? Do you not like my list? Did I not give good justification? Is this even a segment that you're interested in? Or did you guys tune out like 10 minutes ago? Because I could do this with comedies, I could do this with action movies, I could take other directors, other writers, something like that. I love movies. I watch these things over and over again. Is this something that you're interested in hearing? I'd love to have other people on here and we could debate it. We could talk about movies we like. I've got a lot of unpopular opinions, but convicted opinions that I think absolutely my opinion is the way to go. I am the end all when it comes to entertainment value. You will listen to me. So I don't know if we'll do that again. I don't know. But if you guys liked it, let me know. And we can do more. If anything, I just wanted to talk about these movies. After reading those little 10 facts you didn't know, it kind of brought me back. And Sarah and I were talking. I had her rank them. And she hadn't even seen a couple of them. She's like, shit, I don't know. So I don't think she said shit. But yeah, we had fun doing it. So I thought maybe it would be fun to do on the podcast. I don't know what else to tell you guys. I've been trying. Oh, she's going to bed right now. She's shutting the curtain on me. That's it. She's like, I've already heard this conversation once today. I'm doing this at night on Tuesday night. Family's hanging out tomorrow since I'm going on the road this weekend. So I wanted to get this out to you guys. Here's something that's been bugging me. I did some shows last week with a buddy of mine, Mal Hall, very funny comedian, and he's very fashionable, okay? He's one of those guys that he has, you know, 30 to 40 pairs of shoes, and that might even be lowballing it. He might send me a text, be like, hey, man, I got like 70 pairs of shoes. He's got multiple pairs of Jordans. I've got one pair of shoes that I wear. I just wear the Adidas, just Sambas, just give those to me. I'll wear them with anything. I'll wear them to church on Sunday. I'll wear them on stage. I'll wear them to run around. I've played basketball in them. I don't care. This dude's got it together. And so I was like, you know what? I need a jacket. I need a good lightweight jacket that I can wear on stage. I can wear it anywhere. You know, just give me a jacket that I can wear anywhere. It's comfortable on a plane. Because right now I'm just wearing sweatshirts or I've got a winter coat. Like, that's my option. I've got sweatshirts or like a hoodie or a winter coat. So I was like, I need to get a good jacket. So he was showing me some things I should get. But I go into the store and I look at him like, I look like a douchebag in this. I can't wear this. I get a hat. You know, every other year or something, I get a hat, and I've always stuck with the curved bill because the flat bill, you know, some people can pull it off, but I put them on. I feel like I'm a 47-year-old trying to be 13 again, and it just is ridiculous. And some people that are wearing them do look ridiculous, okay? Some people, you look stupid, okay? It's a flat bill cap. We made fun of people. The kid in the Sandlot looked like a goofball because he had that flat, long-ass brim. It's a stupid look. I wish we would go back to the other thing, but you can't get the curved bills very much anymore. I go to like a hat store, even look online, and they're like, no, we do the flat bill. You gotta jump on. And that's my problem, you guys. I don't feel like I'm that old, but I am becoming kind of set in like, this was my style, so this is what I'm going with, and I'm a late adapter to things. I'm a late adapter. I didn't get colored jeans until this year, where people have been doing that probably since I was in high school. I was looking at things and I was like, man, you guys all look stupid. And then 15 short years later, I was like, ah, try it. Yeah, what the hell? Like, give it a try. And so then I end up, I'm in fashion for like half a second. And then everybody's like, ah, you look like the old guy again. I don't want to be the old guy. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to roll with the times. I mean, I want to look ridiculous, like some dipshit with, I don't even know, a neck tattoo. I don't know who gets a neck tattoo. I'm probably insulting one of the listeners right now. It's a bold move, the neck tattoo. You gotta admit, it's bold. And I'm not gonna do that. But I gotta find out where I can go so I don't look like a young dipshit, but also not just like some old pile of garbage that just is ready to die. I gotta find this store that does that. And Mal was like, you can go to H&M. And I could have sworn that was an only girls store. I had no idea they even sold guys clothes. I'm still not convinced. He said they do, but I was looking around. I was like, this is meant for a guy? Not 100% sure. So I gotta find that. If you guys have any suggestions, anybody can help me out. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying. I'm trying to look presentable. I'm trying not to fall behind on the time. So if anybody has any suggestions, hit me up. I need help. I'm looking forward to this weekend up in Canada. I hope you guys come out. I hope you guys are enjoying this podcast. Once again, if you got this far, please subscribe. Give it a 5-star. Some of you guys did that this week, which is fantastic because it helps. It helps more people see the podcast. iTunes ranks it based on, you know, who's giving it a 5-star, who's writing a written review, how many people are downloading it. So I need you guys to jump on board with that because, like I said, we've got a lot of great guests coming up, people that I have on the books, ready to tape episodes I'm looking forward to. I think you're going to want to hear from them. So let's make sure that this is available to a bunch of people. So they can hear it. You know, thank you to those of you who have already done that. I appreciate it. I don't see it on Google Play as much, but if you guys are listening on there, thank you so much. I think it's on Stitcher and some other things. It might even be on Spotify and Pandora now. So if you guys are listening on there, please subscribe on whatever avenue you've got. It really, really does help and help share it with other people that you know. I guess that's the end of the podcast for now. So thank you guys once again for listening. And, you know, I hope you guys are laughing all week. Love you guys. And I'll catch up with you next time.